Happy Friday. It's Feel Like a Real American Friday, and not just because of the State of the Union address was yesterday, but it's U.S. Express Friday. Robert Karpeles, how are you today? Happy Rumor Innuendo Friday.
Happy Rumor and Innuendo Friday to you, Dominic D'Angelo. I guess we're using full names here. Happy Friday to everybody who is joining us in the chat as well. Mr. Christopher Zanto says, good morning, folks, and welcome to the greatest wrestling podcast this side of the equator. I remind you, Mr. Zanto, we are global. Remember, this is a top 10 podcast in Israel, top 10 podcast in Poland. We are international, man. We are everywhere, north and south of the equator. Commando, holy day one-ish, Batman. I made it here 2 days in a row. Happy to have you here, man. Happy to have you listening and watching wherever you are on this Friday, going into a great wrestling weekend. Because all you really got to do is watch SmackDown tonight, maybe Collision tomorrow night. There's no 5 a.m. pay-per-views, Dom.
No, there isn't. Now, whew, what a relief. But there's stuff to talk about that broke this morning, and it was the U.S. Express getting inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Pretty cool. I got to only see a clip of Triple H kind of telling Barry Windham, and I believe also Mike Rotunda there was also on the call, that they were getting inducted. And it's pretty crazy to think, too. It's like such a cool tag team. They have such a history together, obviously, with the family and everything like that. But that also makes Barry Windham a two-time WWE Hall of Famer. That's pretty neat, I think, Robert.
Yes, Barry Windham going in second. Barry Windham previously inducted as part of the Four Horsemen. He was the Ole Anderson replacement because Ole Anderson, there's no way Ole was going to show up at WWE. I think the only way he would have shown up is if he was invited to Vince's funeral and he got to cut the eulogy promo, but only if he was the Black Scorpion. Just that's behind it. A curtain with the voice, Vince, would have been awesome. Windham, obviously deserving. He's an all-timer. Mike Rotunda going in. So a couple things here. U.S. Yeah. Express was really only a tag team for about a year. So if a lot of you younger folks are saying, well, I don't know who U.S. Express is, there's kind of a reason. They did compete at the first WrestleMania. That's where they're known. I watched a lot of U.S. Express matches when I was at WWE, and we were cleaning up a lot of those old Boston Garden shows or Philadelphia Spectrum shows or MSG shows. They were a staple on those. They were not a team for very, very long. You know what their entrance music was, Dom?
Born in the USA, right?
No, it was they were Real American.
Yeah, they had Real yes. American, I think.
Oh, yeah, they had Born in the USA, but Real American was used for U.S. Express. And then, you know, Hogan said, that's not going to work for me, brother. he took control of it, rightfully so. But this is more along the lines of you needed a way to induct Mike Rotunda. This year, most likely, we will see a Bray Wyatt induction into the Hall of Fame. That's my gut that they're going to want to posthumously honor Bray. They sort of set this tradition before with Eddie Guerrero, where when a superstar passes away, they want to put him into the Hall of Fame. It's great for the family because it's additional revenue that's coming in for JoJo and for the kids. You love to see that. You love they're going to continue to make the merchandise. I know he's in the video game. I also think at WrestleMania, when they do the introductions for the Hall of Fame, they're going to want one more opportunity to do the Bray Wyatt entrance in that massive stadium. The lights go out. You have 70,000, 80,000 people putting their flashlights on. It's a very cool visual. It's a nice tribute to Bray Wyatt. I really hope that is where this is going. But it would have felt weird for Bray to be in and not Mike Rotunda. Mm-hmm. The challenge is, do you want to induct IRS? Because then he's going to go out there in the silly with the suspenders and the gimmick. And I love the gimmick. My father's a CPA. I like the accounting gimmick. But it would have felt a little weird. You could always induct Rotunda on his own, but most of his work, most of the stuff with the Varsity Club, with fellow ad-free shows host Kevin Sullivan, none of that happened in WWE. Mm-hmm. So if you can put him in this way, I'm happy for it. I think it works. It'll be interesting. It satisfies the tag team requirements. But you know, what do you think about this here, Dom?
I'm pretty happy with it. I love Barry Windham, and I've always loved like IRS too, even, you know, back then as the heel and stuff like that. But he obviously, it wasn't just it, like that wasn't, it was a gimmick, you know? So him getting inducted as Mike Rotunda as part of a tag team, it just makes perfect sense. Plus, I think, Robert, it's just great points that you made regarding, you know, Bray Wyatt and all that stuff and the familial tie into everything like that. And I think that's, it'll be a very cool and special moment for that whole family, you know, bittersweet, obviously, but for, you know, that stuff, it just makes perfect sense. I'm pretty excited for it. You know, being a Scott Hall fan and all that stuff, I always appreciate Barry Windham because he's who got him in the business and stuff like that. So I that's added element excitement for me, I think, too. So,
and Windham's, you know, he is an all-time great. He's one of those guys that you wish that he took the business a little bit more seriously. And that's not to discredit what he did in the ring, but he was someone who saw wrestling as sort of a means to an end. Someone who lives and breathes it, because he was such a natural in there, a really great talent. I know that Lou 4237 in the chat says, I have vague childhood memories of Barry Windham as the Widowmaker in WWF. No one ever talks about the Widowmaker. Yeah, it was an interesting gimmick at the time. I think now you hear Widowmaker, you either think of that submarine movie or you think of Heart Attacks. Either way, not great associations for wrestling. I remember, you know, those video packages of him as the stalker and all of his hunting stuff as part of the Blackjacks. He's a dude that you want to put him up there, especially given that he had his health scare last year. Give him another opportunity in front of a live microphone. Mike Rotunda was a fantastic agent behind the scenes, a producer for WWE, very reliable, very good at being able to work with the younger talent. And obviously, as the dad of Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas, he's got a legacy in this business. It's going to be a real nice feel-good moment. It'll work well for that Philly crowd. I think they're going to be excited for the nostalgia. If you would have told me U.S. Express and Bull Nakano right, going into the Hall of Fame this
with
year,
Paul Heyman,
dude, I would have been absolutely flabbergasted. That's the word I'm going with here. I would have been gobsmacked. My jaw would have hit the floor. And if you want your partner's jaw to hit the floor,
oh boy,
we recommend Blue Chew. Guys, this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service, delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The best part, it's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. You might not remember the U.S. Express, but she's sure as hell going to remember you when you pop one of those Blue Chews. We're making it work here. You want to put on a Hall of Fame performance? Blue Chew wants to help you, and they want to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo.
Yes, thank you, Blue Chew.
Woo! That took a lot out of me there, man. That's a Friday read you got there, guys.
Listen, Robert, you exuded your wrestling writing ability and all that stuff. I think in that delivery, it was good stuff.
I will say real quick on the U.S. Express thing, to put a button on this. Little disappointed that Dan Spivey is not going to be included, since he ultimately wound up in there as I think they became the American Express. I don't know how they didn't get sued for that. Waylon Mercy is an all-time great gimmick. Right. Spivey, maybe I would like to see Spivey inducted by Undertaker. You know, him, Sid, the whole
shebang.
The whole shebang. It'd be an absolute blast. But speaking of absolute blast, Dom, what do we have to talk about next?
Yeah, somebody who's probably not having an absolute blast today, maybe Kevin Kelly. He was fired from AEW, according to the PW Torch. So Kevin Kelly's post on social media last weekend cost him his job, according to the PW Torch sources. Kelly gained a lot of attention when he went on Twitter/X last weekend and accused ROH announcer Ian Riccoboni of sabotaging his career and of libel. This is what Kevin Kelly happened to say. When you go out of your way to intentionally mischaracterize my raising awareness of global horrors of child trafficking to a fringe conspiracy theory that everybody knows is BS in order to hurt my career and standing in the industry, that at the very least is libelous, wrote Kevin Kelly. He said, but the idea of what I bring to the table is lost because Ian libeled me, wrote Kelly. So I sit on the bench, valued my peers, waiting to get my number called, keep asking why, but pushed aside. It's okay because no one else is better than me. I ask the ones that know and they'll tell you. So Robert, obviously wild kind of subject here. Kevin Kelly is very talented at what he does. So is Ian Riccoboni. Very surprising stuff to kind of hear come to fruition and it end like this.
Yes, this is when I first heard about the Kevin Kelly tweets. At first, I thought they weren't true. Someone's like, did you know that Kevin Kelly and Ian Riccoboni are feuding over the Sound of Freedom movie? Like, that just sounds like Mad Libs. That's right. Just like, let's put in wrestlers or commentators and a reason why they may be fighting. But no, apparently, Ian Riccoboni, according to Kevin Kelly, was talking about Kevin's affinity for this film. A very controversial movie. The movie deals with child trafficking. However, there are a number of fringe stories around this that the film espouses some QAnon philosophies, that there was some financing from this that may have come from some of those fringe entities. Walt Disney Corporation originally was not willing to release the movie. The movie was self-funded ultimately and put out there. There's a lot of nuances and controversy as it relates to child trafficking, whether or not it's being the issue is being potentially weaponized by the fringe right. I think there is across the board, left, right, up, down, wherever you are politically, the idea of child trafficking is repugnant. It's awful. It is something that there needs to be action taken about. However, the sources that people are endorsing for it speaks volumes a little bit about how they see themselves politically. So there's a difference between saying, I don't support child trafficking and I don't support it because of this. And whether there's misinformation associated with it or underlying causes, it's one of those things where if you're putting your name on this and saying, this is what I'm believing in, you have to stand up for it one way or the other and back what's being said. And it sounds as though Kevin Kelly was espousing some of the views that came from this film and from some of those that support it. And Riccoboni was leveraging this as an opportunity to potentially oust Kevin Kelly, at least as Kevin says it. The libel piece of it, I don't know what was necessarily said, but essentially in order for it to be libel, you need to affirmatively be stating something as fact that you know is not true with the intent of damaging someone's reputation. So we know that Kevin Kelly has not been on commentary the last couple of weeks. He was definitely not on the pay-per-view, and he is now gone. I am a fan of Kevin Kelly's commentary. I always enjoyed him and Nigel together. I thought they were a good pairing. I enjoyed the work that Kevin Kelly did in New Japan. He had a way of telling the stories and making it relatable to a U.S. audience. This is a narrow Kevin Kelly story, a positive story, because there's a lot of whatever going on here. One of our listeners, who I used to work with, a gentleman by the name of Nick Giottini, he's the only person who's going to truly appreciate the story, but y'all are going to take this ride for us. When we worked at WWE and we would have to do audio replacements, like US Express, when they used to first come out to Born in the USA, we didn't have the rights to that. We'd have to rip that out and replace it with someone else. And our incredibly talented audio engineer, Tim Roach, who has put together almost all of the audio for every video package you've probably watched as a wrestling fan for the last 30 years, once in a generation talent. He used to do the VOs for Kevin Kelly years ago when Kevin was doing like Metal and Jacked. And he would have these outs, these lines that they knew were never going to make air, but they were so funny and so mean-spirited that he kept them and he would just play them for us. I think my favorite was, the XFL regular season is concluded. Please hold your applause. Like stuff that obviously is never going to make air, but right. It was just to kind of pop the guys who were working these long shifts. So it speaks to the fact that Kevin Kelly was a guy with a sense of humor, really interesting person. It's unfortunate that this situation, number one, happened, that he was, you know, discussing this in the workplace. Maybe it made people feel uncomfortable. We don't know. The fact that he's alleging that Ian Riccoboni weaponized this as a way to oust Kevin Kelly. The fact that Kevin Kelly went to social media to post about this the weekend of a pay-per-view. Like, if there's one thing you'd think AEW has learned by now, it's let's try to avoid controversy the Friday to Monday of a pay-per-view weekend, because it takes away from the in-ring product, and people really enjoyed the in-ring product they put out there. You don't want them talking about announcers feuding with each other unless you're building to a tuxedo match.
Right.
You know, if we're getting Howard Finkel versus Harvey Whippleman, let them add it. But this isn't, it's not great. It's not a great look for AEW. I was curious how they were going to handle their commentary situation, Dom, just because even if this didn't happen, they had a lot of commentators. There's only so many people that can sit at that desk.
Right. And you know what? It's just like, you look at Collision, you look at Rampage, you look at all, you know, but Dynamite, obviously, that's a lot of guys to get in the mix. And they were having Tony Schiavone there for Collision and stuff like that too. So it's just like, how do you make that all work? And I think commentary, we've talked about it before with WWE, and I know Eric Bischoff has mentioned this too in certain ways, is that commentary is so important, and it's going to be it levels up the whole wrestling product as an entity too. So losing a voice like Kevin Kelly, who's very talented and stuff like that, it's wild to think about, and it's unfortunate. I like both him and Ian Riccoboni, so it's just like those kind of situations are tough. I think they're all very talented, so it's a kick to the balls, though, so to speak.
Jeez. that is not a lead into a Blue Chew ad, guys.
No, it's not.
Rumor. I just want to put that out there right now. We do not condone the actions of Dominic D'Angelo. Speaking of actions we don't condone, that's the only way to transition to this next. It's a Friday. It's a happy, fun Friday.
It's a happy Friday.
And you're loading it up with some like very uncomfortable stories, but we don't make the news here on Rumor and Innuendo. We're just reporting what's going on out there. And not every story is going to be sunshine and rainbows, but we're going to tackle this with decorum.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. So yesterday, it got revealed on social media that obviously Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, and Cody Rhodes are the cover stars in WWE 2K24 this year. And, you know, there was a picture, promotional picture advertising it. And an ignorant fan went on there and said that Bianca Belair basically didn't belong because of her race. And that caused a lot of talk on social media and a lot of support eventually for Bianca Belair once the word got out. Ava Rain, The Rock's daughter, was one of the first to comment on it. Then Rhea Ripley made comments. Big E, a lot of people came out to support her. Robert, obviously it's an ignorant comment, but it's double ignorant because Bianca Belair is clearly deserving of the spot to be on the cover of WWE 2K24.
You know, the problem, now I'm going to turn like cornet at this point or something. Said, like, you know, the problem with social media is there are people who can hide in anonymity behind a keyboard, and they can say evil, hateful, hurtful things and think that they deserve a platform, think they deserve a voice. There's obviously no place for that. This is someone who just wanted to hurt people, who wanted to cause issue. And the fact that other people were endorsing this is what led to a full-throated denial and condemnation by a number of people across the board. Absolutely, Bianca Belair deserves her position in WWE because she is a once-in-a-generation talent. This idea that someone is being promoted simply because of race, religion, creed, color, any of that is ugly and regressive and is what makes wrestling fans malign sometimes, because they think that these outliers speak for the general population. That is not how we view this. That is not how any of my friends who are wrestling fans, intelligent, thoughtful people, all you who are tuning in, listening to our show, watching our show, intelligent, thoughtful people. There's no room for that kind of nonsense. I'm glad that it was immediately squashed. And it's just unfortunate that this even had to come to light in the first place. On a side note, 2K24, hell of a video game, Dom.
Is it? I'm excited.
It's a blast. Since I downloaded it and tried it out, It's great. Hell of a roster. It's a lot of fun. And I think that's what people should be talking about, not having to focus on the ignorant comments of some morons who deserve a lot of bad things. I was trying to think of a way to put, like, I remember years ago when the Paige stuff got leaked, when her videos and photos were leaked against her will. And I had tweeted out something to the extent of, I hope we find this person and we give their address to Braun Strowman. And she liked the tweet. Like, it was a nice little moment of levity of, like, you guys are messing with some very, very scary, physically imposing individuals. So you better be very careful about how you're spreading your disgusting, hateful rhetoric. But that's not what we're about, man. We're about positivity. Sometimes, most of the time, unless we're talking about, you know, who knows what, unnamed luchadors who get thrown out on AEW TV without any backstory and we're supposed to care about them. Then I get a little less than positive, but, you know, I like Dynamite this week. It was a hell of a show. And I'm excited to watch some more wrestling content, Dom. Where are we going next? I realize there's two stories. I don't know which one I was leading to.
That's okay. Hey, but the content people might have been were surprised, or not too surprised. Maybe it was at AEW Revolution with Sting's video package and what was there and everything like that. A lot of people talked about, like, oh man, they don't have the rights to the footage, or WWE is going to be petty and not do it, or blah, blah, blah. A lot of different stuff going on. And then, you know, there's always the talk too of, hey, why didn't they acknowledge Sting's retirement? And then they eventually did on Raw in a big way. But apparently, reportedly, AEW didn't even reach out for WWE footage to try to get WWE footage. They just did it on their own volition. Dave Meltzer wrote in this week's Wrestling Observer newsletter, many people wondered, given the past, Khan has allowed his talent to appear on WWE television to honor John Cena and at the Hall of Fame ceremonies, if WWE would reciprocate here. The answer is that we don't know, because WWE was never asked. There was also no TNA footage shown. Yeah, I think that kind of speaks to it, too. It's like, hey, they didn't even touch base with TNA or anything like that. So just an interesting kind of thing to note, I think, Robert.
No, it's interesting. I'm curious if they would have reached out to Hunter and them, if they would have reciprocated. I think it is a weird thing to say. I think in some way, WWE may have been amenable to it if there was an attributed comment to it. So if you put it up there, like, footage courtesy of Peacock, and you're promoting WWE's programming, a little quid pro quo, maybe not the worst thing in the world. Maybe they would have agreed to it, considering they did mention Sting after the fact. I know that Lex Luger had posted that he was there. He was given permission from the WWE to be there as long as he was not on camera. That same rule applied to Diamond Dallas Page, who was backstage. I know Arn was there. Odd that they didn't show Arn, since he's not under contract with WWE. I don't know if he's still under AEW contract or not, but he was not featured or shown on there. Your co-host was prominently shown because, you know, you got that sway in the industry, Dom. You are a mover and a shaker.
I got the pull, baby.
But, yeah, so I don't know if they would have shown it or not. Surprised they didn't reach out to TNA either. I feel like TNA would have been more than happy to use their footage for this, and be like, no, we were part of Sting's career too. We swear. He was here for a long time.
A long time.
Sting's all over. He was in TNA. He was in WCW. He was in WWE on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, Dumb. Speaking of SmackDown, thank Robert, you. That's tonight. Friday night SmackDown. And wow, it looks like it's going to be a doozy, because we're going to have Cody and Seth and The Rock and Roman Reigns. We're going to get an answer, it seems, Robert. And what is going to be the response to Diarrhea Dwayne, do you think?
That they never, ever use Diarrhea Dwayne ever again. It's awful. It's terrible. Look, if you're writing this show and you're looking at the blank run sheet, it's very easy, because you're going to get to kill time with a Bloodline entrance that takes about 7 minutes right there for them to come out. You're going to do Cody's entrance in full. You're going to do Rollins' entrance. And before you know it, the show's over. Like, there's nothing else going on. Obviously, they're going to accept. Obviously, Solo and Jimmy are there to engage in the physicality. I would not be surprised if Drew McIntyre pops up at some point to lay out Seth as sort of the forgotten guy in this whole situation. But no, I think we are going to get our night one main event, and it's going to be this tag match, and I will just sort of have to grin and bear it because I just don't like this tag match. But it, you know, prove me wrong, kids. Prove me wrong. Yeah.
Prove me. I agree with you, Robert. I was not very enthused about a tag match happening. You know, a lot of things just kind of push back against it. I get it. The Rock, you want to get him involved. I would much rather love to see him in singles competition or some other play another factor into it all. And I think you could tell finish Cody's story in a different way, but that's just, we'll see what, wait, see, let's see how it all pans out, you know? Also on tap, Logan Paul's going to be in attendance apparently, for tonight's, SmackDown. And Kevin Owens, you got Randy Orton in the mix. Ooh, looks like we might get another match set maybe tonight.
I'd imagine we're going to set up the Orton-Logan Paul match. I'm curious where they're ultimately going to land with Kevin Owens. I know that he was on commentary, did limited physicality. I don't know how healed he genuinely is. I've seen reports that he was hurt, banged up. We'll see. Orton-Logan Paul, interesting match. It's definitely something that's going to get a lot of mainstream coverage. I kind of thought a little bit with that they were going to go a Logan Paul LA Knight feud to try to boost LA Knight up. Instead, it looks like we're getting LA Knight AJ Styles. I had assumed AJ and Orton could potentially be slotted in. They kind of flip things a little bit. I think Orton is going to have a blast working with Logan Paul. He is a babyface in name only, is Randy Orton. Like, he gets to still act like the same Randy Orton heel, the guy who's just, it's kind of a dick, and in the best way possible. I love me some Randy Orton. I think this will be great. Some good mainstream coverage, and it's going to be an insane match. Like, just think of the Logan Paul jumping off one of the ropes and getting caught with an RKO. It's going to be in video packages for decades to come.
Dude, it's very neat too in the respect that Randy Orton is so respected in the business from like the legends and everything like that. And they always say Randy Orton is one of the best television wrestlers I've ever seen. You hear that from several talents and legends in the business. And then you have somebody like Logan Paul coming in, a YouTube influencer and all that stuff. It's just the complete contradictory aspect, but he's very talented in the ring too. So I'm
We're YouTube influencers now. So I don't know about you guys, but I would love to see Dominic D'Angelo take an RKO.
Well, somebody, hey, I got to plug this. Dre Owen said Dominic should be in Tony D's corner at Stand and Deliver. Tony, you know me. I'm going to be there. Philadelphia, brother. Call me up. So I'll be there.
This is why we don't let Dom select the comments, guys. This is what happens. He's gone drunk with power. Is there anything else on SmackDown, Dom?
Bobby Lashley confronts Karrion Kross. This seems like an intriguing aspect of, like, okay, Bobby Lashley's got a cool faction with the Street Profits. There's so much to do, I think, with Karrion Kross's faction, AOP and Paul Ellering and Scarlett there. I think I wanted more come and build for this for WrestleMania. It just seems like an understatement almost, Robert.
So I'm curious if this is going to even wind up as a WrestleMania match, or if this is going to be the SmackDown before WrestleMania main event. Mm-hmm. Because you could find a spot for these guys on the show. It could be a 6-man tag, and that wouldn't offend me. But you need matches for that Friday night SmackDown before you're going into Mania. Maybe that's where this is building to. I'm sure we'll get something good with it. I think Karrion Kross is a great talent. They just haven't found the right way to use him. I think this presentation looks good. I don't know that you necessarily need Paul Ellering with Karrion Kross, because Kross is such a great talker. Authors of Pain, a little less so. I like those guys being together. I know that Ellering managed them in NXT, and then they brought him up with Drake Maverick, which always looked kind of like odd. Like you hit like the randomizer button in a 2K game. it'll be a fun confrontation. It'll be a fun thing on Friday night, seeing some super heavyweights go at it. Speaking of super heavyweights, there is no bigger super heavyweight in the world of podcasting than Mr. Dominic D'Angelo. Dom, where else can the fine folks hear you?
Robert, you're making me blush. Yeah, you can find me on One of a Kind with RVD every Monday at 4:20 p.m. Go to rvdtv.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcast. We have a fun conversation this week. We cover some ground about like the Darby Allin dive. We talk about Sammy Guevara. We talk about a lot of different stuff. RVD gives some cool perspective. And Paul Heyman, obviously getting inducted. And RVD has some great things to say about that. So very much tune in drops Monday, 4:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, check out Straight Talk with the Boss, Magnum TA and Greg Gagne. We cover
the Gagne.
I do it to rhyme. the Remco figures coming out. They're available for pre-order right now. Go to powertownwrestling.com. Check them out. And yeah, hit me up on Twitter.
Are you getting a figure too?
Maybe. Never know. Me, myself? Or if
yes, a Dominic D'Angelo action figure.
A Remco figure? Yeah, it's going to be like really tiny.
It would be very... Look, guys, if you want to see a Dominic D'Angelo figure, I think we could make this happen. Hashtag RIPod. Out there. Well, look, we know important people. We know Mr. Conrad Thompson. That is a man who makes things happen. We appreciate you guys tuning in here every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on all the various places where you can get this podcast in video format. We're streaming on X, on the SE Scoops account, on Dominic D'Angelo's X account at Podcast Heat. Pod Heat. They are the folks who make this show possible at WWCreative_ISH, as well as on YouTube at ad-free shows and the Rumor and Innuendo page. Subscribe everywhere, follow everywhere, 5 stars across the board. We'd love to see some reviews, some messages. It's always appreciated. A couple of plugs on my end. You can catch my other podcast, Wrestle Roasts. That drops every Friday. We just dropped one today with incredibly talented comedians, Mike Lawrence, Scott Chaplin, and Dan St. Germain. And speaking of Mr. St. Germain, he will be joining us next Friday for a very special episode of Rumor and Innuendo. He's going to be talking about his new comedy special, Dance Fatty Dance. That is the name of it. That is not me mocking my friend. That is through 800-pound Gorilla Media. That is going to be dropping on YouTube. I was there live for that taping. It was a blast. And today has been a blast. I'm getting to do this show with you. Another week in the books. We're just, we're thankful for everybody listening in, tuning in, participating in the show. So on behalf of the always grateful Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpolis. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Rick Derringer for life.